today on Real Radio.
Maybe some incredible greatness and goodness will come out of this time. I have no doubt about that, actually. Expectancy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days, as he continues his series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is much older now than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we all can take a lesson from, to have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. Now, as we head further into chapter 2, we'll find God's prophetic timeline. It's in this portion of Scripture where all that we've seen and heard confirms to us that we're living in the last days. Jesus encouraged us to be watchful and to keep looking up because we don't know the day or the hour of His return. The rapture of the church is yet to be fulfilled, and it can happen at any time. The believer's best hope for the future is that it will happen soon. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The theology of Isaiah 26, 19 to 21 is also mirroring the promise of the New Testament. Your dead, God is speaking, your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Think of Christ's resurrection. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. Think about those who have died in Christ. Their bodies have turned to dust. For your dew is like the dew of herbs. What happens to dew in the morning when the sun comes up? That's those droplets of water upon the leaf of a plant or of an herb. If you had the patience to sit there and watch for a moment that leaf or that petal with the droplet of dew on it, you'd have to stare and stare and stare and watch and watch and watch. You know what would happen? It gets smaller and smaller and smaller until there's no more water on that leaf or on that petal. Where did it go? It evaporated right up back into the heavens, into the atmosphere. And the earth shall cast out the dead. Look at verse 20. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. What indignation? Verse 21. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The wrath of God levied against a Christ-rejecting world will have no consequence to the church. Luke 21, verse 35. Luke 21, 35, there begins. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, Jesus is speaking. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. Wow. Verse 37, blessed are those servants who, when the master, when he comes, will find them watching. Verse 40, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect him. What a tremendous truth that is. Christ is coming back at a time that you don't know the day or the hour, but you can know the times and the seasons. Let me tell you something right now. I'll be brutally honest. When the doctor says, you're sick, you've got cancer, it doesn't look good, set your house in order, you need to hear this from the Lord. If that's what the doctor says, then you need to understand something. You need to understand that you need to get ready. That's merciful. That's mercy. Rather than dropping dead in an instant where there's instant judgment, if you think about it. But if you find yourself sick today, battling illness, cancer, diseases, leukemia, whatever it might be. May the Lord Jesus Christ heal you now. May he heal you radically in his name, because he does that when he chooses to do it. But if you're not a Christian, I mean this with all affection. If you're not a Christian and you get healed by chemotherapy or by treatment, well, you know, I'm kind of glad for you. Not totally. I said, Jack, how could you say that? Because if you get better and you feel great and you just go on living without Christ, you're still going to die. I'm going to die. But if you understand that the announcement is given that you need to get ready to meet your master and you set your house in order, then I can tell you this, you'll be ready to meet him at his coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Those who have died in Christ, he'll bring with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you, wherever you're at right now, can you just say, thank you, God? That's 1 Thessalonians 5:9. He did not appoint us to wrath. That's a promise of God. You can get excited. The world's too quiet at this moment. It's quiet in here. It's quiet outside. That's a reason to shout. I'm praying for the moment that when the church on earth will no longer have a voice, will no longer be streaming online, will no longer be on Facebook Live or YouTube and teaching the Bible via the platform, because the church will have been silenced on earth. Why? Because we're not here. We're not here anymore. Because he didn't appoint us to wrath. Next, this is 4G in your notes, is that the rapture belongs to the church. It's exclusively that of the church. And there's verses there that you can read, John 14 and 1 Thessalonians 4. And I'm going to read a lot more to you in a moment, but listen to this. It's exclusively reserved for the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. You know it, we've read it before. That if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even so God will bring with those who sleep or died in Jesus. Remember that? We read it a moment ago. The trumpet blast, we'll go up and meet them in the air if it's at our time, when we're alive. But it belongs to the church. And there's a portion of scripture that substantiates that perfectly. It's Revelation 4:1. Revelation 4:1 says this. After these things, says John, after these things, behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. By the way, John, this is the book of Revelation. John is speaking of the church. And by the way, John is never again seen on earth, and neither is the church never again seen on earth from this moment on. Verse 2, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper, a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. I do not understand that, because the word emerald is green color, a rainbow of green. I don't get it, but that's okay. I'll get it when I see it. Verse 4, and around the throne were 24 elders, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And the seven lampstands of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. This is a picture of heaven. Before the throne, there was the sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. That ought to freak you out. What a tremendous picture that is. Verse 7, the first living creature was like a lion. So watch this, eyes around. So it has a face like a lion. Okay. The second living creature has that of a calf. The third living creature had a face of a man. And the fourth living creature was that of a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, that is God, and who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne. And this is what they say: "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you were created," or "you have created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." I want to join this, and we're just about ready to wrap this up. Revelation 19 goes on to tell us that there was a great multitude there. Going on to verse 9 and wrapping this up, on your notes, it's 4H, is that the rapture is the ultimate act of God's mercy for us. In Luke 21:34, it says, "Be careful because your hearts could be weighed down." Oh, listen, this is now. This is today. Jesus said as we approach the end, "Be careful, listen, be careful because your hearts could be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap." Don't worry, friends. Don't worry. God's got this. This hasn't missed his preview. This hasn't missed his care. This world event is not outside of God's knowledge. He knows. You might be saying, "What's God going to do? What's God going to do?" And can't you hear God saying, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do with what you're seeing in the world around you? Will you trust me? Will you put your faith in me?" I think that's what he's saying in a great act of mercy. And then also, this is 4I in our notes, is the rapture is the believer's DNA. The believer's DNA is rapture. It's in us. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, just a little bit to the left of where we're studying, 2 Peter 2, 1, the Bible says, There will be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. He goes on to tell us what they are. I mean, this is big stuff. Listen to this. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Listen, everybody, if you're sleeping, wake up. We're almost done. This is the big deal. In the last days, you're going to know it's the last days because there's going to be people who traffic in religious circles who are known to God to be false teachers. And how do we find them? How do we know them? Well, he says right here, they're going to scoff in the last days, walking according to their own lust. That word means they actually live one. Look, they live like this in front of the camera, and they live an alternative lifestyle off camera. They're fakes. But this is what they say. Where's the promise of his coming? Isn't that amazing? I don't believe it. Jesus said in Matthew 24, Jesus said in Matthew 24:45, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing," that is being faithful. "Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods." Listen. "But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master delays his return,' Watch the result of that theology. And begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come in a day when he's not looking for him, and in an hour when he's not aware. And he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then here's where we end. The rapture is the answer to expectancy. Expectancy. We have pictures of this in our world. Expectancy. When a woman becomes pregnant, she's going to be pregnant. First of all, I should say she is pregnant the moment she becomes pregnant. Boy, that's a whole topic we don't have time to go into right now. I'll just say this. When science designed by God collides in the way that God has designed it, I'm not talking about a collision on the freeway like an accident. When God ordained science meets instantaneous, a human being is created. Expectancy, that woman, she doesn't even know it yet. She's pregnant. Conception has taken place. Living sperm collides with a living egg. Living life explodes scientifically. And I know our culture wants to argue that. You can fight with me all you want. You can send me hate mail. You can threaten me all you want. Listen, I survived an abortion. I already died. I was slated to die. Oh, I'm gonna hunt you down, Pastor. You upset me. Listen, you know what? I'm 62 years old, but in a way, my life is only Jesus' life. I was never supposed to be in this world in the first place. I'm here by God's grace and God's mercy. But I want to tell you something right now. Do you think maybe, is it possible for a moment that we have prayed for revival for decades and God is bringing it and he's using a virus? He's not causing the virus, he's using it. And maybe, listen, maybe revival is God's people doing the right thing, which is called righteousness, and that is a revival. But I don't believe God's going to do a revival in America until America stops killing babies. That's true in the Old Testament, and it's true in the New. God condemned Israel for killing their firstborn children. And all of a sudden, everything's sequestered in America, and babies are not being aborted. What do you think about that? I think that's pretty awesome. I think that's pretty awesome. There's going to be, oh my goodness, if the Lord allows us to live on, we are going to meet kids someday that were in the womb or conceived during this coronavirus season. I don't know if their name will be Corona or not, but somehow they'll be celebrated. Because maybe some incredible greatness and goodness will come out of this time. I have no doubt about that, actually. Expectancy. And we end with that verse that we read earlier today, Titus 2:13. Are you looking for that blessed hope, my friend, and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ? That's an incredible verse. It declares Jesus Christ as God. It declares Jesus Christ as God who's coming back. It declares Jesus Christ as God who's coming back, and it should make you very happy. It should fill your heart with hope. It's blessed. And I pray that that's you today. I want to ask you that question. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? If you were to die, would you be completely, listen, assured of the fact that at your last breath, you'll meet Christ on good terms? And I want to warn you right now. Listen, I want to warn you. I want to say to you right now, this is what you do not want to say. You do not want to think this. Yeah, I think I'm okay because I'm pretty good. I didn't kill anybody. The Bible says you're condemned. If your answer is, well, I'm better than my dad or my mom or my neighbor, or I'm better than anybody else sitting in this room, the Bible says you're condemned. If you say, I'm the most righteous person in the community, you just ask anybody, I'm the best citizen, the Bible says you're condemned. You might say, Jack, boy, you know, you're really laying it on, and you let him have it, but I'm the Pope. I'm a priest. I'm a pastor. I'm an evangelist. You're condemned. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And if there's any doubt as to what he meant, he said it to the most spiritual man in all of Israel, Nicodemus. He was the head teacher of the entire nation of Israel. That man, Nicodemus, in his righteousness, trumped everyone up until this day. Nicodemus, his statue before God, his standing before God was better than any televangelist, better than any pastor, evangelist, anywhere in the world, padre, priest, or pope. Nicodemus was the man. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, I tell you, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus said, How can I, being old, enter into my mother's womb and be born a second time? You see, he got the message that he had to be born a second time, but he was thinking in fleshly terms. And Jesus says, are you not the teacher in all of Israel, and you do not know these things? He says, the words that I speak to you regarding this, that which is of the flesh is flesh. But that which is of the Spirit is Spirit. Nicodemus, I tell you that he who is born from above, born again, will see heaven. Are you born again? That's John chapter 3, by the way, if you'd like to read it later. Listen, if you'd like to make that decision, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. God can hear you right now, all of us together. Will you pray that prayer? Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life, wash away my sins, and make me new. Because I confess today, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, to be my Lord and Savior. Take away my sins, put your Holy Spirit in my life, make me your child, because I receive you now, and I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know in These Last Days is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, we could all use a little encouragement now and again. These days, life can come at us from all different directions, but like Peter, no matter what we face, no matter what mistakes we've made, we can still be that kind of person whose only pursuit is the heart of God. There is no true salvation outside of Jesus Christ, but if you're not sure what that really means, well, we're here to help. On our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you'll find the good news of the gospel laid out for you step by step. You'll also find an easy link to let us know if you prayed to receive Christ, or if you've got any further questions, we'd like to know. And if you already know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the information on the Know God tab makes a great witnessing resource to share the love of Christ with others. So head on over to that website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab labeled Know God. That's at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.